Perhaps we're not dispositioning candidates as fast as we should be. Our hiring managers are not replying as fast as they should be. So we certainly started to identify points of opportunity for us to really improve that experience with the candidate.
You're listening to the Candy Shop Talk podcast, brought to you by Talent Board and the Candidate Experience Awards Benchmark Research, and hosted by Kevin W. Grossman. Talent Board is the first nonprofit research organization focused on elevating and promoting a quality candidate experience. The Candy Shop Talk podcast welcomes Kathy Hennessy, Director of Talent Acquisition at Advent Health, a network of healthcare services from primary care to specialty medical services, and a proud Candidate Experience Awards winner. Listen in on how improving candidate experience impacts recruiting and the business bottom line. Kathy, thank you so much for joining me on the Candy Shop Talk podcast. Before we dive into the rest of the show, why don't you tell us a little bit more about who you are and what you do today?
Sure. Thank you. I am the Director of Talent Acquisition for Advent Health here in Orlando, Florida. We just changed our name from Adventist Health System to Advent Health to really bring our 46 hospitals together under one name. We have a lot of different names. We've gone through lots of acquisitions and people just didn't recognize who we were and that we were part of a larger system. So my role has been to transform talent acquisition into a centralized shared service model. It was begun when I started, but I've just continued that as we've had more acquisitions come on board. So we are just looking at every department. We have onboarding, sourcing, and talent acquisition recruiters, and we are transforming them into working together across the system.
That's fantastic. We have many industries that participate in our Talent Board candidate experience research every year, and four of the biggest buckets, I guess I'll call them, include services, financial services, technology, and healthcare, of course. And it's always been one of the bigger segments. You've also are a Candy Award winner from last year. So congratulations. For those keeping score at home who listen to and understand, or at least have a little bit of knowledge about the Talent Board research program that we run, every year we do survey research with employers around the world, including targeting populations of their candidates. Those companies and employers that have the highest positive candidate ratings win awards from us, and that was really good news. But let's take a step back though, Kathy, because you have had a lot of transformation going on in your organization. Tell us a little bit more about the candidate experience journey. What was the impetus behind, wow, we really need to treat our candidate differently than what we've done before when it comes to recruiting?
So we have a contact center in-house where candidates can call in and just really ask any type of question. And from those calls, we could see a lot of frustration with candidates not knowing the status of their requisition. And so you dive deeper into that and you understand that, perhaps we're not dispositioning candidates as fast as we should be. Our hiring managers are not replying as fast as they should be. So we certainly started to identify points of opportunity for us to really improve that experience with the candidate. We also saw that with our internal candidate process particularly, and that's really disheartening when our own employees are not having as a positive experience as they should. So we really started looking at our own processes and really developed a new standard operating procedure with SLAs. So with every step of the process, we established, what's the turnaround time for each of those steps and what should it be and what should we strive for? And then we measure that. And so that kind of started us on that candidate experience journey. And we do surveys in kind of different formats. We do our own surveys. We certainly wanted to do the Candy experience as our first benchmark and, ended up winning because we had worked on those things prior to that. So that started us on that journey. And obviously we can see the metrics improve over time. We also just recently created an internal recruiter. We are calling it the internal mobility program, which really gives an extra white glove treatment for our internal employees. So they have a shorter SLA and more high touch points with the recruiter. So the expectation is that they will get a phone call. They will have certain feedback by so many days, and we are communicating that to them as our own commitment.
That's huge. And a lot of things that you outlined, we hear from a lot of the candy winning benchmark companies every year that they're doing those things. But you also know, and I'm sure you and your team painfully know, is that the hard part sometimes is also sustaining this over time. Any of the initiatives
that sure. you put into
play, because you've got constant changes. You just said you've been acquiring other organizations. There's leadership changes. There's churn on your own team. There's boom and bust cycles. Not to mention all the fun that comes with being a healthcare organization from a regulatory perspective. The list goes on, right? So what was, you know, one or two, what were some of those challenge, one of those challenges that was it a people related, process related, technology that helped you to kind of get to where you're at? How are you going to sustain that? So I always ask like 8-part questions, Kathy. So you have to,
sure.
you have to forgive me.
Sure. So I think the biggest thing is it really was just a process problem and a recruiter expectation of what we expect, right? So, you know, we have very high values and missions being in the healthcare organization. So we expect that behavior to our, not only to our own employees, but we should expect that to the just the external candidate. So we kind of set that expectation with our recruiters, right? And then we looked at our processes to say, well, how can we make it easy for the recruiter, right? How can we automate as much as possible so that they're not just getting bogged down in the transactions itself? And so they really can have the time to create some of those high touch points that we expect. So I would say it's more process than expectations.
Sure.
But we started looking at every step in Taleo and say, how can we automate that step? What can we do to just make it click, click, click all the way through? And that simply makes it faster as well.
With the SLAs that you referenced with your internal team, that you referenced earlier in the podcast, is that how, and are you actually holding recruiters more accountable internally for candidate experience? And how does that play out internally?
So it is, it's fairly new for us. So it is, we don't have enough measurements yet, but the SLA is 7 days from the time that the candidate applies, the internal employee applies, to the time that they get a disposition, one way or another, whether that's I'm sorry, you're not a fit for the position, or we're going to make you an offer. So there's steps, obviously, along the way. The hiring manager has a big portion of that. They need to turn around those candidates quickly as well. And so we have a measurement for the hiring manager for their part of those 7 days, and then our recruiters own the rest of those parts. And so we can measure each part of those steps per recruiter, and then, of course, per hiring manager. And then, you know, if they aren't meeting those steps, then we have conversations about, you know, what, why aren't you? What's the problem? Is it high volume? You know, what can we do to improve the process for you?
That's huge. You mentioned as well that you also do your own continuous feedback surveying of your candidates. At what stages do you do that? Is it just for new hires? Is it for rejected candidates as well? What's the frequency of those?
For our HR team does a 45-day and a 90-day survey that kind of covers a lot of different areas. But one portion of that is the recruitment process and ask, you know, how they felt about the recruitment and the pre-boarding process. Then candidates that have applied for a position, every 6 months, basically we do a candidate survey. So if they've applied internal or external within the last 6 months, they get a survey specifically about their recruiter and the process itself. So then we're at least capturing everybody along the way to kind of get that pulse of how are we doing.
No, that's
now, excellent. Of course, we still get the contact center people calling every day. So we can kind of always see, are we seeing a shift in, you know, frustration, the number of calls, and seeing if that is working as well.
And that's, you know, a different kind of criticality too, right? Because that's a high churn part of the
sure.
of the business and the organization, which is going to be different than some of the your other maybe more sought after key internal positions that you're, but it's all important though. It's all part of the same potential impact on your business and your brand over time that we've talked about for years now at Talent Board. And what you're all very aware of is that, and that what's interesting is that candidates decide whether or not they're going to apply again, refer others, and if and when applicable, it's not, and this is what's fascinating about healthcare, is that it's a choice, not a choice, right?
Right.
From a consumer's perspective, but there still can be a potential impact there, positive or negative, and how their perception of the fairness of the overall process is, again, perceived, that it makes a difference,
right,
whether or not they want to do anything with you going forward. So besides what you've already outlined today in this podcast, what else are you measuring when it comes to improving recruiting and candidate experience? Of course, time to fill, and there's many other important recruiting metrics, but what's specific around candidate experience, if anything?
You kind of pinpoint one of the questions we do ask is, would you consider, knowing that they were dispositioned, would you consider, we ask the non-hired candidates, would you consider applying to us again? And it's really amazing to see the question. Even if candidates had a bad experience, they say yes, or we get a very high score on that. But we can break that down by facility, by hiring manager, by recruiter, and we can definitely see where there's opportunities of improvement. We take that information back to those specific facilities and ask for their partnership in trying to improve that, and explain to them that if whatever percentage of that is not willing to apply again, that's a lost candidate forever. And in a marketplace that's a very tough market, or maybe a rural market, that's a candidate we're never going to get again, or right, we're going to have to do a lot, and given it's anonymous, to get them back. And so we really try to reemphasize the process and reemphasize that we have to be polite, we have to be fast and efficient to get answers, no matter what it is. I always say, tell the truth as fast as you can. Because that's what they're asking for. They tell us over and over again, it's okay if I'm not selected for this job, but just tell me in a timely fashion.
Exactly. Every single year, there's always going to be a negative foundation baked into the sediment of your recruiting, no matter what, because the very nature of the fact is that you're rejecting more people than you're hiring. It's always going to be that way. And, for a variety of good reasons. And there's a percentage of candidates you don't want to apply again. Right? There's folks.
Sure. Yes.
I mean, that's always the case every year, but you do want those individuals that have either been deemed future fit in your system, or they're the finalists, the silver medalists that have made it,
right,
didn't quite make the cut, but maybe in a future role, there's potential there. So I think those are all very important, hence why it's not just fluff when we talk about candidate experience, and the fact that if somebody does choose to not associate with your brand or business anymore, that can be huge. And what we find is that there's this squishy middle in our data. As you know, Kathy, there's questions that we ask over how likely are you to do something, right? And apply again, refer others. And there's this likely, not likely. And we find that that category is kind of the meh, middle of the ground. Those are the people that are actually, especially the qualified candidates in that population, to tip over to like, yes, I want to do something again with Advent Health, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. Whatever that means to me as a potential candidate. And then those negative folks, the folks that are always saying, I hate you, you suck. Well, those are going to be hard to save, but it is what it is. This is a business transaction like any other. It's a messy human one, but it's a business transaction nonetheless, where most people don't get it. They don't win. They don't get the job.
Right.
Anyway, so you get all that. Let me ask you this. How has participating in the Talent Board Candidate Experience Research, besides, of course, winning a Candy Award, which is fantastic, but how else has this helped you as it relates to your recruiting process?
The biggest thing where it helps us is with our C-suite, because we take this information and show them those different touch points of the survey to say, this is our areas of opportunity, and we need your partnership with your hiring leaders, right? Your nursing leaders, your finance leaders, whatever, all those different positions, that it's just not us internally saying, hey, you need to improve your process, that this is validation from an external source that has looked at our data, has surveyed our candidates, and said, this is what they're telling us. It gets a lot more credibility than us just telling them, which is really why I like to participate in candidate survey, because it gives us so much data that we can use with our C-suite.
What do you think, and again, this is not to disparage anybody in any leadership position, so you could speak generally here, but what do you think is the biggest misconception with the C-suite, with business leaders when it comes to recruiting and candidate experience?
I think they they're so proud of their organization, right? They have most likely worked for the organization for a long time. They've been in these roles that they feel like, well, why doesn't everybody want to work for us? And what they don't understand is that's not always the case. You know, it's not that they just want to work for us only, that they just want to find the right opportunity for them. And maybe it fits with their, you know, mission and values, and we hope that. But that's just that misconception to say, no, not everybody wants to work for us. We have to sell. And then we sell by them having a positive experience with us, because then they know that they're going to have a positive experience as an employee.
Sure.
Because you often hear that, right? It's like, if you treat me poorly during the interview process or the application process, then I know that I'm not going to be treated fairly as an employee, right? And so that's where we use this data to try to explain to them that we have to have this experience from the day that they first touch us. And not only that, is then the C-suite, I say, these are our patients, right? These are our community patients that also think about us. Because I think one of the questions is, you know, would you consider using us as a product or service?
Right.
And that really hits the C-suite, right? Because they're like, oh my gosh, if they've had such a negative experience, they're not going to even consider us as a patient or go to one of our doctors or, you know, go get an MRI done. That really hits hard.
Exactly. And I would argue most of us have been there, regardless of what level or role that we're in today, that we have had an experience that brings back such visceral memories that we're like, oh yeah, you're done. I'm never doing anything.
Right.
Again. But there's also the flip side of that we also see in the data, is the fact that I would argue it's not about happy candidates. I've had this conversation many times with talent acquisition folks and businesses, but it's more about just fairness in the process.
Right.
And that
fairness and respect.
And respect. Exactly. Agreed. Wholeheartedly agree. So Kathy, thank you. So the last question I always like to ask my guests, because of our nickname for this program, is affectionately known as the Candies. Candidate Experience for short. And of course, candy brings to mind sweets and treats. What else does Kathy have a sweet tooth for outside of work? What else does Kathy like to do?
Oh gosh, I love, I like shopping estate sales and just little antique things. I like to dabble in artwork. I am not, you know, some famous painter or anything like that. I like to do abstracts and things that may take an hour. I don't need to do a 40-hour oil painting, but, you know, just fun crafts, arts and crafts, and getting outside. I'm new to Florida, so I've been here for about a year and a half, so I'm exploring lots of different beaches and small communities in Florida, so really enjoying the travel.
Oh, excellent. Well, that's great. I love that as well, and whether it's near or far, I think getting out there and seeing sights and learning and meeting new people is always good for the heart and the soul, I believe.
Absolutely.
So, Kathy, thanks so much for being on the Candy Shop Talk podcast, and I look forward to seeing you in person very soon.
Oh, thank you, Kevin. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Candy Shop Talk podcast. For more information about Talent Board and the Candidate Experience Awards and Benchmark Research, visit www.thetalentboard.org.